Today, what I want to share with you guys is I want to consider the resurrection, but then I want to mainly consider the result of the resurrection. I want to consider what happened after the resurrection and what the apostles did after it. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today. But just some things to consider before we go on. Without the resurrection, we have no hope.
That's right.
Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have no hope for salvation, no hope for forgiveness of sins, and no hope for being in fellowship with the Lord or having eternal life.
Amen.
And so without the resurrection, there is no Christian faith. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:13, but if there is no resurrection from the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain.
Amen.
And our faith is in vain.
Amen.
And so, here's something else that's important to say. If you do not believe in the resurrection, you're not a Christian.
That's right.
If you do not believe that Jesus that morning rose from the grave and came back to life, that same body that was killed on the cross, that same body was resurrected and brought back to life. And that same body is sitting at the right hand of God right now. He is ascended. If you don't believe in that and don't have faith in that, then you're not a Christian.
That's right.
And so this is vital, vital to our faith in many, many ways.
Amen.
Something else to consider before we open up the book of Acts. You know, we rejoice. We rejoice that Jesus rose from the grave that day. Because for the reasons I just said, we rejoice. We rejoice that because He conquered death, that means that we too have conquered death with Him.
Amen.
And that one day we will be with Him. But think about this. There was someone that rejoiced even more than we did. There's someone that rejoiced even more than the apostles did. And can you guess who that was? The Father, but even more than the Father was Jesus Himself. Jesus died. Jesus took on the wrath of the whole world and was separated from the Father for those three awful, horrible, worst days of all eternity. 3 days He was separated from the Father. But on that morning He rose and He was back in fellowship with the Father. And He of all people was rejoicing because fellowship with the Father is the greatest thing
Amen.
That we can experience or know.
Amen.
And it was the greatest thing that Jesus knew. And so He was rejoicing too. Not only for the victory, but that He can be in fellowship with the Father again. And now we can be in fellowship with the Father. So, we rejoice, and Jesus was rejoicing too. Probably for several reasons. But as I said, what I want to do today is consider what the result of the resurrection was. And so we're going to be looking at Acts, and you can turn to Acts chapter 2. And we're actually going to be kind of skimming over a few sections of Acts, not just staying in one particular place. But we're going to start in Acts chapter 2. But as we're looking at Acts, be thinking about this. When Jesus died, remember when Jesus went to the cross, what the disciples were doing? They deserted Jesus. They flee. What did Peter do? He denied Jesus 3 times. And then he went back to being a fisherman. You guys, the disciples were a mess. They were a wreck. And they went their separate ways and they fled. And so, but what happened after the resurrection? Jesus came and talked to them. And what did they do? They repented and they began to go and to preach the gospel to the whole world. And that's great evidence. That's great evidence for the Christian faith.
Amen.
Because if they had given up and if Jesus was dead, and if He was not resurrected, why would these men go and risk their lives?
Mm-hmm.
Why would they go and risk their lives and go out and spread out to the ends of the earth and share the gospel? They wouldn't, you guys. They wouldn't. But there's something else I want to focus on too. And that's this, that the vitality of the church came from stressing the resurrection.
Amen.
Okay? So the vitality of the church came from stressing the resurrection.
Amen.
They believed that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. But they also stressed very much that Jesus rose again from the grave.
Amen.
And you see that throughout the book of Acts.
Amen.
In all the sermons that are in Acts, as the apostles are teaching, they're constantly speaking of Jesus rising from the grave. And that's interesting because if we think about it, in our culture, we talk a lot about Jesus dying on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
But how often are we rejoicing that Jesus rose from the grave? When we share the gospel, we share about the cross and forgiveness of sins. But how often are we saying, but then on that third day, Jesus rose from the grave.
And he's alive.
He rose and then he ascended to heaven and he's sitting on the throne of heaven. And that's exactly what we need to be doing. And if we're going to do that, if we do that more, I think it's going to make a big difference.
Amen.
And so let's go ahead and look at Acts chapter 2. And we're going to read a section here. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. And before we do, I'm going to pray. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we desperately need to hear from you this morning, not from me. And Father, Lord, I pray that you help me just to settle down right now and to trust you. I give this over to you, Lord. Also to Father, I just pray that, Lord, that you would help us. Pray that this would change us. Pray that it would help us to be more faithful, to glorify Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Pray that it would help us to be more bold, to share about His resurrection. And Lord, we love you, Lord Jesus. And we want to glorify you. And so please help us and pray that you be glorified right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Alright, so let's go ahead and look at Acts chapter 2. And this is Peter's sermon after the Pentecost. And let's go ahead and read what he has to say. Starting in verse 22. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, the man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God had performed through him in your midst. Just as you yourselves know, this man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says of him, I saw the Lord always in my presence, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue exalted. Moreover, my flesh also will live in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence.
Amen.
Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so, because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. And so Peter was preaching this message to a few thousand in Jerusalem, Jews and God-fearing people, and he was preaching this just after the Pentecost. Okay? And the Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit came down and filled the room where the apostles were. Okay? It filled the room and it filled the apostles. And there was a sound like a rushing wind. And it says tongues like fire came down and rested on the apostles. Alright, and I believe that Luke and the apostles were trying their best to describe a divine event at that time. That, as we know, trying to describe heaven is with mere human words is impossible. Mm-hmm. But they did their best to describe what would happen. So there was this large sound and tongues of fire that came down. And the people, the crowds, actually, as the apostles were speaking, heard the apostles speaking in everyone's language. Isn't that a trip? And there's a long list of peoples, different peoples from different tribes, different tongues that were there, and they all heard the apostles speaking in their language. And it was a miraculous event, and it just goes to show that the new covenant truly had been established. Because we know that with the old covenant, there were many signs and wonders that happened in Egypt as they were taken out of captivity. And then in the wilderness, as the Lord gave them the Ten Commandments. But then we see here that there's also many signs and wonders as the Lord is establishing the new covenant. It's the same thing. But there's just a few things I want to consider from this passage. Actually, one main thing. And that's this. Jesus was not abandoned. Jesus was not abandoned to death. He was not abandoned to Hades. You will not be abandoned either.
Amen.
You're not going to be abandoned either. Believers in Jesus Christ, put your faith and trust in Him, that believe that He died on the cross for your sins, but then He rose up and ascended and was brought back to life. You will not be abandoned either.
Amen.
But as I said, Jesus was not abandoned to death. And it actually says in this passage, and this Old Testament passage here is referring back to Psalm 16, but actually says in this passage of Jesus, this is David speaking, and he's speaking about Jesus. It says this, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay. And so, just an interesting thought, Jesus' body, as it was laid in the tomb, as it says here in this passage, did not undergo decay at all. He died, his soul left the body, but his body remained without decay for 3 days. For 3 days. And we know that that's not normal. We know that's not normal. As soon as our body ceases to function, which will happen to each of us, right away things start happening. Everything starts breaking down, right? Rigor mortis sets in, our body stiffens. All of our cells start to break down. The body turns red because the blood starts to spread through the body. And we know that there's a stench that begins to happen. And after 3 days, there's bloating. But none of those things happened to Jesus' body. Jesus' body did not suffer decay as it laid in the tomb. So it's interesting to think. And so some people, they might ask, well, how? You know, how did that happen? How come his body didn't go through that process? I got a question for you. Alright, I got a question to counter that. How did the author of life actually come down and die? How did the one that created all of life on the earth, experience death? How does the one true and living God die? How is that even possible? How did the one that breathed life into a pile of dust and created man breathe his last breath? Isn't that a question we should be asking rather than why would his body decay? Why would God come down and breathe his last? on our behalf. Why? Why will you do that? And then it says in this passage too from Psalms, it says that Jesus was not abandoned to Hades. He was not abandoned to death. And we know that there is a Hades. We know that there is a hell.
Amen.
We know that because Jesus taught about it more than anyone else. Jesus tells us about hell more than any other prophet, more than anyone else. Jesus explains and teaches us that there is a hell. There's a place of punishment.
Yes, indeed.
There is. But Jesus was not abandoned to Hades. And we're not gonna be either. As believers in Christ, we will not be abandoned to hell, to Hades. Alright? And you know what? Jesus was worthy of not being abandoned. But we were.
Yes.
We were not worthy of that. We were not. In fact, God should have abandoned us. He should have abandoned us to decay in this life, decay in our sin, right? Because sin in this life causes decay. It does. It's sad. You can see it sometimes in people that you know are living in gross sin, and their body just seems to be just breaking down, even as they walk. But He did not abandon us to be in decay, to be trapped in our sin. And He did not abandon us, He will not abandon us to the grave.
That's right.
He will not. He will not. And so we should rejoice. But another thing to consider too is that is this. We should not fear hell as much as we should fear something else. We should not fear hell as much as we should fear God.
Amen.
We should fear God more than anything else. More than anything else. It says in Matthew 10:28, Jesus says, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear Him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." And so we should much more fear God's holiness. Mm-hmm. We should fear, even as Christians, we should still fear God.
Amen. Correct.
We should fear His correction. His loving correction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we come before Him, thankfully we will be covered in the blood of Christ. We will be washed clean. But still, our sins will still be on our minds, and we will still be trembling before the Lord. We will still be trembling before the Lord. And so, we should fear His holiness more than hell.
Amen.
But we should rejoice more than ever that Jesus is resurrected and conquered death and forgave us of our sins. And so we should rejoice in the resurrection. We should rejoice in the resurrection. We should, as it says in Philippians 3, verses 7 through 11. And you can turn there, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. Paul writes, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith.
Amen.
That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection.
Amen.
And the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death.
Amen.
In order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. And so it's just saying there, we should treasure the resurrection and treasure Christ more than anything else in this world. And we should. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, it also says in verse 3, 1 Peter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And then listen to this, verse 4, "to obtain an inheritance which is an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." And so we have a great reason to rejoice in the resurrection.
Amen.
And because of the resurrection, we have an inheritance that's not going to perish.
Amen.
And it's not going to go away. Everything that we have in this life, it will go away. But He won't. Alright, so as I said, we're going to kind of skim over Acts a little bit. So go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 17. And we're just considering the results of the resurrection. Acts chapter 17, and I'm going to read verses 30 through 32. Acts 17 and verse 30. "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because He has fixed the day in which He will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom He has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising Him from the dead."
Mm-hmm.
"Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some men began to sneer, but others said, 'We shall hear you,'" and again concerning this. And so this here is Paul speaking on Mars Hill, and he's in Athens, and he's just preached the message to the Athenians, and when he was there in Athens, he sees that they worship all these idols, and so he's very convicted by this, and he goes up and begins preaching and telling them, "I know that you guys are religious people." And he begins to tell them about the one and true living God. But he also speaks of here, and I point this out because he speaks of the resurrection. He speaks of Jesus rising from the grave. And then he goes on to say that this Jesus is going to come and He's going to judge the whole earth in righteousness. And so, as I said earlier, the apostles' proclamation centers around the resurrection. It centers around it. They speak of the resurrection very much. And as I said earlier too, our culture seems just to emphasize Jesus dying on the cross. But we really, really need to work on emphasizing His resurrection and ascension. We lose the essence of the power of the Christian life when we forget about the resurrection, when we don't speak of it. Here's an example. We might say, I am a sinner. I'm a sinner. I sinned again. I struggle with sin. But no, you're not a sinner.
That's right.
You're not a sinner. You're a child of God.
Amen.
You are a child of God.
Amen.
And your Savior now sits on the throne. He controls everything. And you bow your knee to Him. And so you need to You need to submit to Him and His authority.
Amen.
You don't just get to say, I'm a sinner, and oh man, I sinned again, and oh well. No. We bow our knee to the Creator and the Ruler of the universe.
Amen.
And we need to submit to Him. And we need to walk as children of God. And we need to realize that we are ambassadors of the Most High God.
Amen.
And we cannot become content with sin, you guys. We cannot become content with sin. We cannot. And in fact, you guys, I'll tell you this. Being content with sin is crippling us as the body of Christ. It's crippling the body of Christ from glorifying the Lord. It's crippling the Holy Spirit from coming and doing mighty works.
Yes.
It's crippling the body of Christ. And so we cannot just go around saying, I'm a sinner, oh well. And I struggle with the sin. No, you need to fight against the sin that's in you. You need to fight against the sin. And just as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, that we need to be fighting against sin in such a way that, and he used language to get attention, but cut off our hands or pluck out our eyes if they're causing us to sin. We need to be so at war with sin in our lives.
Amen.
And we cannot just be content. You serve a risen Savior.
Amen.
He's in the world today.
Amen.
And we need to represent Him, you guys. And we need to stop just being content with sin. We're quenching the Spirit from working, as it worked in the book of Acts, as it was working there. And also, too, we need to proclaim the resurrection. We need to proclaim it, you guys. And we need to know, we know that when we proclaim this resurrection, when we go out and tell people about Jesus, who is risen and ascended, He is the Lord of the universe, and He died on the cross, that we're going to be persecuted. Alright? We know that that's going to happen. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We need to encourage each other, you guys. We need to encourage each other to tell others about the resurrection, but we need to encourage each other as persecution comes too. Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to start halfway through verse 35. This is speaking of the prophets. Of course, Hebrews 11 is the hall of fame, so it's the hall of faith, and it's telling about all the faithful men and women of God. But then in verse 35, halfway through, it says, "And others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockery and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two. They were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains, caves and holes in the ground." Alright, so there's what we have to look forward to possibly in our future, guys. There you go. Aren't you glad that you're a Christian? You should be.
Amen.
But these things are promised to us in the future. And we need to prepare, we need to encourage each other to still go out and to be brave and bold to proclaim Jesus risen,
Amen.
The risen Lord. And it goes on to verse 39 and 12:1. "And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect." And so we know the better thing that they're talking about there, but here's the exhortation that we need to stick with us. 12:1. "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus,
Amen.
The author and perfecter of faith,
Amen.
Who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen.
So you guys, we have persecution to look forward to. We should. If we're not being persecuted, then there's something wrong. Mm-hmm. It means that the devil is not really very threatened by us. He's not. And so there should be persecution. But it's going to be hard, you guys. We need to encourage each other. We got to encourage and strengthen each other in going forward. Alright? And we got to encourage each other in ways like this. I told Julie already, I was going to read this to you. Julie wrote this note to me last night as I was sitting in my office all day, and every now and then kind of coming out. Didn't get much sleep last night, but Julie wrote this, and I was reading it as I was studying. She wrote me a verse, Colossians 1:11, and then she prayed this for me. Almighty God, strengthen Matt with power according to Christ's glorious might, so that he might have supernatural endurance and patience in the difficulty of preparing an Easter sermon. I read this a lot, really. Give him the stamina and the fortitude he needs to complete this task you have called him to do. And so, thank you, Julie.
Yeah. Bless you, Julie.
And that really was a blessing, and that's an example of ways that we need to encourage each other.
Amen.
Alright, we need to be doing that to each other, because as we go out and proclaim Jesus and proclaim the resurrection, we are going to come under attack. And we are going to be in despair at times. We're going to be depressed. We need each other. I sold my bike recently. I had a nice road bike, but I'm just not going to ride on the roads up here. There's just too many crazies out there, and I feel like I'm going to get run over. I'm going to be under someone's car. But plus two, I never ever rode a biker shorts ever again. But anyway, I sold that bike. But in my experience with that bike, it just seemed like when we went on our long distance rides, it seemed like when someone was just at the point where they're at complete exhaustion, they can't go anymore, then someone else had the strength to come alongside and put the hand on the back and say, "You can do this. Come on, let's push through. We got a downhill coming up. Keep going. You can do this." And then that person that just encouraged that one, he hit that point of exhaustion. He hit that wall. He'd be like, "I can't go anymore." And that person that was exhausted 30 minutes ago, all of a sudden he's got strength. He comes along and says, "Hey, all right, come on, keep going. We're going to hit a flat pretty soon. It's going to get easier. Just keep pedaling." And that's exactly what we need to be doing for each other.
Amen.
As we're obedient to proclaiming the resurrection.
Amen.
So proclaim the resurrection. And look forward to what we have coming in our future. And I'll just tell you, you know, in Acts chapter 1, we read about Jesus ascending into the sky. And the apostles were staring up at him as he was being raised up into the clouds and ascending to the throne of heaven. In that same way, he's going to return. Dennis talked about it.
Amen.
He's going to return that same way.
Amen.
But on a war horse.
Amen.
On a war horse. But in the same way that he ascended, you know what it says? It says that we're going to go up the same way too.
Amen.
We're going to ascend up into the clouds and meet him in the clouds.
Amen.
And it says that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, "We will be in the clouds with him."
Amen.
So we'll rise up. And so that should encourage us too. Looking
Amen.
Forward to that time. That's going to be absolutely incredible. It's going to be awesome. The dead will rise first, and if we're still here, then we'll go up too. I don't know if some of you guys have been to Disneyland, and there's this ride in California Adventure called Soaring Over California. Some of you have been on that. It's like you're on a hang glider. And you're soaring over California. And like you go over an orange grove and they actually have the smell of oranges, like they shot out to you. And when you go up over the mountain peaks like Whitney, it gets cold, you feel the frigidness. But we're going to experience something a lot greater than that.
Yeah.
Forget about Disneyland, forget about soaring over California. That's nothing compared to what we're going to experience as we go up. And we're not going to be soaring over California, we're going to be soaring out of California. So anyway, it's just going to be amazing. We got to think about that, you guys, as we're pushing through this life. We got something on an ascension, a resurrection to look forward to that's just amazing.
Amen.
We will be changed with the twinkling of an eye, says 1 Corinthians 15. Alright, so one more point to look at you guys from Acts. And we've been just looking at sermons. We're looking at sermons from the apostles and the book of Acts. So turn to Acts chapter 4 and we'll finish up. Acts chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. Peter and John have been arrested, and they're standing before the religious leaders, and they've been beaten. There's just all kinds of persecution that's going on, but they continue to be bold and proclaim the gospel. But listen to this. This is after their release. They've been warned. They have been warned. Do not preach in this name anymore. Stop it. You need to stop. Don't preach in his name anymore. And so it says in verse 29 of chapter 4, and they're praying this. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while I do extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place in the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. And so they prayed to the Lord, and they asked the Lord, please help us. Help us to continue to be bold. Help us to continue to proclaim the Christ crucified and resurrected from the dead.
Amen.
And they just kept going, you guys. And there's no way that someone's going to be doing that for some lie. They're not going to. They're not going to give up their life for this. As they go and preach this, it'd be similar to someone, a converted Muslim going before a crowd of Muslims and pronouncing Jesus is Lord and calling them to repent. That would be very, very dangerous for that man. And in the same way, the apostles are facing that same danger. But they continue to go. But anyway, they prayed, and the Lord sent the Holy Spirit and it empowered them, and they went out and they preached the word of God boldly. They went out with boldness and proclaimed the gospel, proclaimed Jesus. And so here's just something I want to think about from that. And this is it. The Holy Spirit, okay? The Holy Spirit empowers the revelation and glorification of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit will empower God's people as they proclaim Jesus. The Holy Spirit will empower God's people as they seek to glorify Jesus.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit will empower us when we do that. Alright? And so those are the things that we need to be seeking to do, because we need the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Right.
We need the power of the Holy Spirit to minister. We do. And you know what? In the early church, we read a lot about the people were amazed. They were astonished. They were astonished at the apostles. They were astonished at Peter. They were astonished at Paul. I mean, they even wanted to bow down and worship them as gods. These things kept continuing to happen. And why? Because the Holy Spirit was moving with power.
Amen.
Through the apostles, as they were revealing Jesus and as they were glorifying Jesus.
Amen.
And so we need to just know this, you guys. We want the power of the Holy Spirit to do works, to do miracles, to come in power. We want the Holy Spirit to do that with us too, you guys.
Amen.
We do.
Amen.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. We have the Holy Spirit in us. When you are saved,
amen.
When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You become a temple of God. But also, too, the Holy Spirit can still be poured out
amen.
On us.
Amen.
Can still be poured out on us. A person may be filled repeatedly for divine service and for empowered for bold witness.
Sure.
Okay, the Holy Spirit comes into us to do that. And but the Holy Spirit is not going to move in that way if we're not proclaiming Jesus.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is not going to move in that way if we're not proclaiming the resurrection.
Amen.
Resurrection of the Messiah. And so we need to be doing those things. We need to be doing those things. It says in Acts 4:31, and actually just read it, I'll read it again. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with the Word of God with boldness. And so you guys, they already had the Spirit in them, but it was poured out on them in a mighty way.
Amen.
And listen to this, you guys. The predominant work of the Holy Spirit, again, is to reveal and glorify Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It says in John 16:14, Jesus says of the Holy Spirit, He will glorify me. And then it says in John 15:26, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth that proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness of me. And so those are the things that the Holy Spirit is going to empower us to do. But here's the problem. Here's the problem, you guys. We need to change this thinking in our mind. Pastor Arturo Azurdia says this. He says, the ministry of the Holy Spirit has become Christian-centered rather than Christ-centered. So you guys, we see the Holy Spirit as our helper to help us with what we want to get done, to help us with what we want to do. But we've got to change that.
Amen.
We're not going to see the power of the Holy Spirit working and moving until we change our thinking and we make the Holy Spirit Christ-centered.
Amen.
And make Him Christ-centered. Okay? So that means that if you want to be filled with the Spirit and empowered by the Spirit, we need to be revealing and glorifying Jesus.
Amen.
Okay? And you guys, honestly, are we seeing the people in Anza amazed at what's going on in our church? Are we seeing the people in Anza just bewildered, asking, what's going on? What's going on over there? What's happening? We should be.
Amen.
We should be seeing that. We should be hearing that. But if we don't have the Holy Spirit working in us in power, it's not going to happen. And if we're not out there proclaiming Jesus and proclaiming His resurrection, it's not going to happen.
Amen.
Amen.
And we're going to be comfortable and content in our sin. But we need to change that way of thinking.
Amen.
Guys.
Help us, Lord.
We need to be seeking to glorify Him any way that we can and be asking and seeking opportunities to proclaim Him. And so you guys, I just wanted to look over and look at what the result of the resurrection, what the result of the new covenant should be, and just some key things. But here they are again. We need to rejoice in the resurrection, you guys. We don't just need to tell people about Jesus dying on the cross. We need to tell about Him resurrected and then ascending to the throne of heaven.
Amen.
And when we start doing that, guess what? The Holy Spirit is going to start to move in power.
Amen.
And we're going to see some miracles. We're going to see some people repent of their sins and put their faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're going to see the Holy Spirit come, and we're going to see Anza saying, what's going on at that church? What's happening? But we need to be proclaiming Him. We need to be proclaiming the resurrection. And when we do, we'll be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, and He'll move in power. Alright, so I want to do this before we go. I know that as celebrating Easter, we like to proclaim that Jesus is risen.
Amen.
And then you guys respond by saying He is risen.
He is.
Okay? So let's try that, alright? He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Okay? But you guys, it's one thing to say that in here. It's another thing to say it out
Amen.
There.
That's right.
And that's where we need to be saying it. Is out there. We need to be saying He is risen indeed. He is resurrected. So Lord, help us to do that. But maybe you don't yet have faith that He has resurrected and He has ascended to heaven. Maybe you don't have faith. You know, we read Acts chapter 2, and we know that from Peter's sermon there in Acts chapter 2 that 3,000 were saved that day.
Amen.
And we see the first altar call there in Acts chapter 2. And from that, we get something that's called the Pentecost package. Have you guys heard of that?
No.
The Pentecost package. Here it is. And this is for you today. If you have not received Jesus, if you have not believed in His resurrection, this is for you. Repent of your sins. Be baptized. And you will be forgiven of your sins and receive the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's exactly what Peter said to that crowd, 3,000, and they came and received. Be baptized. Repent of your sins. Trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Trust that He resurrected from the dead. He conquered death, and He conquered it for you. Receive that. And if you haven't received that, receive it today. And don't wait any longer, because that day is coming when He will return, just as Dennis was saying. And it might be this afternoon. We don't know. It could be soon.
Amen.
And don't wait any longer. Receive Him as Lord. And come forward as